Next thing on our agenda is old business.
Those extensions they were talking about, other states, the states did at the state level. Because it was state problems. It's not us, it's the state.
First thing will be conditional use number 1881. Howard Arnis Jr. and Dick Ennis Incorporated. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Before you, we have a report prepared by staff on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission on four applications for your consideration under old business. First application is conditional use number 1881, the application of Harold R. Ennis Jr. and Dick Ennis Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district to operate businesses related to grass cutting, power washing, marine services and sales, and construction services. To be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.5188 acres more or less, lying southwest corner of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, and Route 277, also known as Angola Road. Before you, you have a copy of the Commission's report. The Commission held a public hearing on this application on February 24th of 2011. Whereby they deferred action for further consideration and to allow Mr. Burton, one of the members, to the opportunity to vote on the application since he was not present. On March 10th, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Again, it was deferred for further consideration. On March 24th of 2011, the Commission again discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1881 for Harold R. Ennis Jr. and Dick Ennis Incorporated to operate businesses related to grass cutting, power washing, marine services, and sales and construction services. Based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use started as a home occupation that has evolved with the success of the applicant's businesses. Two, the site is appropriate for a conditional use since it is at a lighted intersection of Route 24 and Angola Road. Three, the use is in a developing area according to the county's current land use plan. Four, the proposed use with the conditions placed upon it will have no adverse effect on neighboring properties, traffic, or the community. Five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, all parking on the site shall comply with county parking ordinances. The location of the parking areas and spaces shall be shown on the final site plan. Two, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrances. Three, there may be one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size per site. The location of the sign shall be in accordance with the county and state regulations, especially setbacks. Four, all security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Five, there shall be no vehicle or boat parking in the setback areas fronting on Route 24 or Angola Road. Six, there shall not be any off-season boat storage on the site other than boats for sale or boats that are being worked on by the applicant's business. Seven, all areas for boat sales shall be designated on the final site plan. Eight, no RVs or other vehicles shall be stored or sold from the site. Nine, a landscaping plan shall be included as part of the final site plan. 10, as stated by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Sundays. 11, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-1 with Mr. Smith opposing the motion.
Mr. Lank,
that's all I have.
May I ask, the landscaping plan, would that include tree line along the back side of that piece of property, or do we
have? Well, what the commission recommended was there are some trees that have been planted by the applicant sort of
separated. That's not the side I'm talking about.
No, I'm just saying, mm-hmm. But in between the two sites, because he didn't originally own the site. Okay. Next to Angola Road.
Right.
And that would be expanded based on the site plan submitted to the commission. If you have a specific area that you think should be a part of the landscape plan, other than it being a general statement as it is, then we should state where that area is that you're concerned about.
Well, it's the back side of it. I mean, it is a residential area.
Well, the back side's already wooded on adjacent property.
I drove over there. As you drive in, it's all open until you get into it. Yeah.
On the north, on the...
I'm not sure if it would be the south side.
Mm-hmm. On the Millsboro side, there's no landscaping because this is residential lot in the rear of the property.
Okay.
So on the Angola side, towards Angola, by the bay, that side is wooded.
Yes.
And there's an easement that goes in just to get into the property for that purpose. So there would be a need for, you should say landscaping around the perimeter or something of that nature should be a part of the plan.
I'd like to see that.
Because this just is in general because he showed us on the site plan that there was some landscaping that existed. If you have a concern about a specific side, we need to address it.
Okay.
Well, you just wonder if there's a need to landscape against, you know, to buffer the wooded area.
It's not wooded. It's open. It's open.
Oh, you want to, okay, you're
talking
about that side.
The area I'm talking about is open. And it's a residential lot next to a residential lot. It's residential in there.
I don't have the map in front of me to show.
Any more questions of Mr. Link?
Anybody have an objection to making that a condition?
Just landscape. What did you want to do? Landscape
around the perimeter.
A landscaping plan for the perimeter to be approved by the P&Z Commission.
It's not going to affect his drive-by clients because they'll still be able to see all
those. Just in describing the site plan too that was submitted, shows both parcels, shows the proposed building. There's an existing paved drive on the Angola roadside going towards Angola by the bay. And that road actually, there's a dirt drive and gravel drive that it goes right into Mr. Ennis's property across the Dorman property. So I would have to assume in that case you're referring to the Dorman property.
Oh, okay. So
that because it's adjacent to and behind his residence.
Well, would it not be possible to put landscaping around the perimeter then? That's what you're saying?
No,
okay. All right. All right.
The difficulty on that one side, and that's where the driveway already exists, and create that property.
Yes.
Then
okay.
Can't landscape on the adjoining property unless they agreed to it between parties.
Okay.
Mr. Deeb, you care to?
I would like to
add something.
Add a condition that the landscaping be around the perimeter.
Yeah, a landscaping plan to be approved for the perimeter.
Okay.
That means Penny is going to look at some and doesn't say what, just says they can submit something and planning is going to look at it.
Okay. Do we need to vote on that separately or just add it to the condition?
You should vote on that as a separate condition since.
Okay.
But could I make a suggestion if you do that you make it an addition to condition number 9, which says the landscape plan shall be included, that just puts it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you do vote for it.
Who amend that?
What's 9 say, Lawrence?
Pardon?
What did
9
say?
9 says the landscaping plan shall be included as part of the final site plan, period. It doesn't say anymore. It's not.
Why don't we just say landscaping plan for the perimeter shall be included as part of the final site plan?
That would do it.
Just add the word.
Is that a motion?
Yes, that's a motion.
Well, I'll second it.
A landscaping plan, adding the words for the permit.
Okay.
Permit. Oh, God, I forgot what it was.
We have a motion and a second to require a landscaping plan for the perimeter.
Perimeter. I didn't get the word.
Be included in the final site plan. Any questions on that motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now need a motion to deal with
additional use 1881.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I guess Lawrence can read that, I guess.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
The ordinance is an ordinance to for a conditional use application, Harold R. Ennis Jr. and Dick Ennis Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district to operate businesses related to grass cutting, power washing, marine services and sales, and construction services to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on 1.5188 acres, more or less, lying southwest corner of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, and Route 277, also known as Angola Road, with 11 conditions. Number 9 being amended to a landscape plan for the perimeter shall be included as part of the final site plan.
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the conditions.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance with the conditions stated. Any questions?
Reminder, state your reasons for voting.
Any questions on the motion? No, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I'm voting yes, and going along with planning and zoning's recommendations and their reasons. And this business has been in existence for a long time, and it's not, you know, we've lived with it for a long time. It provides needed services, and it's in a good location on a corner lot on Route 24, so it's appropriate.
Is that with the amendment?
Yes. Yes, with the amendment.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It's a location that's probably not suitable for residential, or is not desirable as a residential site anymore. And it's also has had an existing conditional use for many years, and this is an expansion of the conditional use that they've had. So there hasn't been any problems. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
It's appropriate use. It's a good location. I'll vote yes for the conditions, with the added condition amendment as set forth by planning and zoning with their findings.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the same reasons that P&Z voted for.
Also, I agree with the findings of P&Z. I agree with their conditions and the number 9 as amended. It has been there for quite a while, and I think it makes sense in that location. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Next application is conditional use number 1884, the application of Michael Schimmel, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6.1694 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Statenville Road, also known as Road 224, 850 feet northeast of Union Church Road, also known as Route 42. Again, before you have a copy of the report of the record of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The Commission, in their recommendation after public hearing, Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1884 for Michael Schimmel for a landscaping business based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. 1, the use of the landscaping business is consistent with the underlying AR1 agriculture residential zoning of the property. 2, the use is appropriate for a property of this size and the applicant's intent is to reside on the property. 3, the use with the conditions placed upon it will have no adverse effect on neighboring properties or traffic in the area. 4, no one appeared in opposition to the application. 5, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. 1, the use shall be limited to the applicant's landscaping business. 2, a vegetated buffer shall be established as shown on the site plan. The vegetation shall be planted to screen the use from neighboring properties. The buffer shall be established within 90 days of the approval of the final site plan for the use. 3, the hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 4, all parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan. 5, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. 6, any storage of stone, mulch, or dirt or similar materials shall be in bins, and the location of those bins shall be shown on the final site plan. 7, any chemicals used in the business shall be stored inside of the building. 8, no retail sales shall occur from the site. 9, no mulching or stump grinding shall occur on the site. 10, the location of any dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan and shall be screened from view of neighboring properties. 11, one lighted sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. 12, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And the motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with the recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the condition stated. That motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have.
We did have opposition at our hearing about trucks going up and down the road, and the man who opposed it, he does have a home right next door, And I'm wondering how our buffering is going to, our plantings and whatnot are going to affect that.
Well, you mean the buffering that's proposed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it states a vegetated buffer shall be established, as shown on the site plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did show some buffering along that property.
Along the road?
The vegetation shall be planted to screen the use from neighboring properties, so it could have to be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
The buffer shall be established in 90 days of approval, so that he was purchasing the property. So
right.
It would be done basically after he moved in. On his site plan, he showed parking, the house sits way back in the rear, if I may.
Right.
Here. He shows planting across the front of the house and back toward the house, not all the way up in the front nor the road. And buffer trees all the way around the perimeter and down both sides, rear, both sides, and then it stops to a point that's probably several hundred feet still off of Stateville Road.
It stops several hundred feet off the road.
Okay. Back in the rear, so
I think it was the road that was in question and the trucks going up and down the road.
Stateville Road,
mm-hmm.
And the buffer road that's showing the tree that will be planted. So screen the house, screen the rear, screen the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
More questions, Mr. Lang? Entertain a motion.
So the question is that note adequate enough?
Well, you know, the testimony was what he was objecting to is the trucks going up and down that road. He lives right alongside of the road. And is there some way that's practical to put a buffering along that between that road and that next and the home next door?
Oh, it could be. If you want the whole perimeter to be buffered, it could be a requirement.
But that was the objection, was the trucks going up and down the road. So.
Well, the truck should be, well, it could be tractor trailer if they're delivering a large quantity of the product, but typically they can take it to the site. Just trying to remember what was said at the public hearing. Typical truck that would be going to and from this site would be a stake body, flatbed or something of that nature. It wouldn't be a
Not really residential.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking, is there, I would like to encourage this business to start, but I can't unless there's some protection on that road from the trucks going in and out of there for the residents around.
So you're referring to the adjoining property?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once the traffic
Yes, we had an opposition, yes. Mm-hmm.
So is there a suggestion that the buffer be extended out to Stateville Road?
Yes.
So that way it protects the two parties on the side?
Yes.
I
would just ask a question.
Was there anything else close to this? Any other conditional uses or any businesses?
No.
My recollection was it was all residential parcels.
It's,
large
residential.
Parcels.
It's a residential agriculture area, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone want to try a motion?
Can I make a motion to amend the conditions to add, how would you say that, Mr. Lank, vegetation or planting along the road?
Well, in the same case as what we just went through,
uh-huh.
The statement is a vegetated buffer shall be established as shown on the site plan. You would have to amend it to include the perimeter out to Stateville Road.
And that's what
because
I'm
right
asking.
Now it's back a couple hundred
okay,
feet back.
No. To protect the road, that's what I want. To amend it to extend along the road out to the state road. So the motion is, again, what would that be? Word for word.
Is this what the neighbor
time to
trying to word this in.
Okay.
If I just to amend, discussing number two, it's a vegetated buffer shall be established as shown on the site plan. The vegetation shall be planted to screen the use from neighboring properties. The buffer shall be established within 90 days of the approval of the final site plan for the use. So you should incorporate as a line before the establishment of that buffer, that the vegetated buffer shall be extended out to Stateville Road.
Yes, okay.
Along the side property lines.
Yes, along the side property lines out to Stateville Road. Yes. I'd like to amend it. The conditions. That was the objection. And there is a house next door.
Whenever you get that worded, Mr. Lang, can you read that back to us?
Amendment number two to number two would be a vegetative buffer shall be established as shown on the final site plan. The vegetative buffer shall be extended out to Statenville Road along the side property lines. The vegetation shall be planted to screen the use from neighboring properties. The buffer shall be established within 90 days of the approval of the final site plan for the use.
Okay.
As far as number two.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Yep. You want to make that? It's a motion, Mrs.
I'll make
Deaver?
That motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we need a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to amend number two under conditions as Mr. Lank has previously read to us. Any question on the motion?
Was this neighbor here to?
Yeah, that was a guy that came here that day.
Yeah, he has a house next door.
He opposed this.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the truck traffic or whatever. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'm going to vote no. I just think that it's too much of a residential character for the area nowadays. And I think with the size, the 8 employees and other things like that, it's just it's going beyond a conditional use. It should be a change of zone possibly. And, you know, when the...
We're voting on the amendment.
On the amendment. I'm sorry. I'll vote yes. That's fine. I'll vote for yes for the amendment. I'm sorry.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
I'll vote yes. The amendment is, has proposed has changed. Now then.
Now I can vote.
We entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We adopt the ordinance with the amended changes.
Have a motion to adopt CU 1884 with the... condition number two as amended. Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any question on the motion? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I can vote yes on this with the additional screening, since that was the objection that we had in testimony. And landscaping business does have a agricultural bent to it, but I think it would be appropriate for this area.
Mr. Cole,
now it's primarily a residential area at this point, in my opinion, with large lots, and the gentleman stated he was going to have a growing business and would like to locate it at his proposed home. He does not own it. He's going to improve it all. He's going to have approximately, he says, 8 employees. He's not discussed this with any of the he had not discussed it with any of the neighbors. And so I therefore think that it's not appropriate at this time to locate that type of a business, because when the trucks moving materials around, they have those beeping, you know, backup noises, and that travels in the countryside. And I think it would be a disruption to the residential characteristics of the neighborhood. My vote's no.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Phillips.
I believe it is an appropriate use. I believe with the added safeguard, based on Mrs. Deaver's amendment to the conditions, it'll be fine for the neighbor. I vote yes with conditions of planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
I also agree that the person that came before us and expressed his concern, I think Mrs. Deaver's amendment corrected that. So in that case, I will agree with the findings of planning and zoning. I agree with their conditions. As amended, I will vote yes. Motion carried.
We need to back up for just a second. When Mr. Lank read the amendment, the ordinance itself was not read.
Oh, okay.
So the ordinance would be conditional use number 1884, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR agricultural residential district for a landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 6.1694 acres, more or less, filed on behalf of Michael Schimmel, and located on a parcel of land northwest of Statenville Road and northeast of Union Church Road. What you could do is just readopt your comments and your vote.
Don't have to go say them all again. Just say, please, just read. Okay.
Well, we will now take the vote again.
I'll make a motion. Well, we have to make a motion to adopt it, right? I'll make a motion. We adopt the ordinance.
Second.
A motion second to adopt the ordinance. Any questions? We'll I'll take the vote again, I guess. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, for the same reasons previously stated.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote no for the reasons I had just stated moments ago.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes, same reasons.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, same reason. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Rutt.
The last two applications were held jointly in public hearing, and the consideration would be done separately since they are one is a change of zone and one is a conditional use. So the first application we would discuss is change of zone number 1699, application of Old Town Point, LLC. It's an ordinance to modify condition number 21 imposed on ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400. The application of Old Town Point, LLC for the Village of Five Points, a MRRPC medium density residential district, residential planned community, so that the limitation with regard to community use is only on 2.52 acres, thereby enabling Old Town Point, LLC to use the remaining portion of the property, 1.52 acres, for a proposed pharmacy or related use.
But isn't it tied to some other kind of issues that regarding the other part of that lot, or is not?
It will be, but what you're looking at is mm-hmm. a change of zone to amend and modify the mm-hmm. ordinance that was already adopted. Mm-hmm. Then you have to give consideration to the conditional use to allow for the pharmacy and related use activity. In reference to change of zone 1699, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 27th of 2011 and deferred action for further consideration. On February 10th of 2011, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Again, it was deferred action for further consideration, and there was one member absent during that discussion. On February 24th of 2011, the Commission again discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of change of zone 1699 for an ordinance to amend condition number 21 imposed on ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400 regarding the community use of 4.04 acres of land for Old Town Point, LLC, based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this site is the subject of conditional use number 21 of ordinance number 1377, which states the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community services, i.e. fire, police, EMS services, library, and museum. This condition was proposed by the applicant and its representatives, and it was incorporated into the approval of the Village of Five Points development by Sussex County. Two, the condition limiting the use of this property was relied upon by homeowners within the Village at Five Points. Three, the applicant has stated that it has not been able to locate any viable community use for the site with the exception of the Lewis Library. Now, the applicant seeks to donate part of the land to the library and allow the construction of a pharmacy on the remaining portion of the site. Four, it is commendable that the Hudson family, as the developer, wants to give part of this property to the library. However, the Lewis Library has not accepted the donation, and no one from Lewis Library has stated in these proceedings that the library is in favor of a donation, or that the library has any intention of relocating to this site. And five, speaking on behalf of Mr. Burton, I believe that the whole site should remain available for community uses of the type promised by the applicant at the time the Village of Five Points development was approved. Thereby, there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with four votes to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-1, with Mr. Ross opposing the motion.
Can we not consider that with the conditional use together?
You should vote on them separately.
There are circumstances that I want to have get ironed out before I vote on the CZ. So, you know, because it's all interrelated. What happens to the other part of that property is related to whether or not I could vote for this change of zone. So I don't know how to work that.
Well, you can discuss them because they were presented together.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
We vote on them.
All right.
We vote on them as two separate ordinances.
Well, the applicant talked about the land, the remaining land, either going to, I guess it was specifically the Lewis Public Library, not just any library, or to the homeowner association if the library should not want it. And I'm wondering, legal-wise, how do you handle that? You just can't leave that out there in the name of the applicant forever. Whose name does that go in if we approve this?
If we were
to approve the change of zone and the conditional use, what happens to the ownership of the other property?
You mean the balance?
Yes.
If you were to approve this for the pharmacy,
yes,
the balance would remain in the name of the developer.
Right. Okay. But the developer is saying that that they're going to offer this to the Lewis Public Library, or if the library is not interested, that they're going to gift it to the homeowner association. When would that happen? How do we enforce something like that?
Well, that's if you're voting on a condition, you know, conditional use for mm-hmm. the balance, you can impose conditions
mm-hmm.
that it would have to happen in so many months, days, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or how the property was to be deeded, if that's mm-hmm. what they're asking you to do.
Well, that's what I understand is the offer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offer was that if the library didn't want the property, then it would be transferred to the HOA.
Yes. My question is just about the transfer of the property, really. Not that it be left hanging and, you know, the applicant come back again and ask for rezoning of that property. So,
but we really don't have any conditions, right, for this?
On the conditional use?
It was denied.
Well, yeah, the right. recommendation of the commission was denial.
Right, so there aren't any conditions for us to work from.
Mm-mm.
You would have to impose conditions.
We'd have to start from the beginning and start. Mm-hmm. So we might want to just start numbering 1, 2, 3 and whatever and start going through some conditions that we can start agreeing on. Otherwise, we're going to talk here for quite a while.
And you're only talking about the change of zone as to whether or not you can change the condition number 21 up or whatever number it was. I forget now. 13.
Yeah, the change of
condition
zone
number 21 was what you're looking at.
Right. Okay.
So we need to, any more questions or comments from council?
Ms. Deaver? The change of zone, I can't approve it. I can't vote for it unless I know that that we're going to follow through with this conditional use of gifting this property to the homeowner association, the other property. So I don't know how we tie that together.
Well, could we sit here and start talking about the conditional use, right? We're allowed to talk about either of them. Why don't we then start working on conditions and see if we can agree to some conditions and then go back to the change of zone? That's what
just so long as you vote on them in the
right.
order.
Well, I understand that. What I was trying to get at. We don't have any conditions, so let's see if we can get some conditions. So, Lawrence, could you kind of lead us through what a good set of conditions would be from what you've gleaned from this application?
If you want to make a decision today.
I don't have to. I mean, I'd like to see conditions, but we didn't have any prepared.
No, there wasn't any prepared.
Many times we haven't prepared.
In the past, the council has given direction to staff to prepare conditions for consideration to get sent out to you in advance, so you have mm-hmm. a chance to review.
I would prefer doing that, but it's the rest of the council. What's the consensus today?
I think we should do it.
Any consensus there?
I'm sorry, you said we should do what, Ms. Deaver?
I think so we know what we're looking at, because these two applications are tied together. And I think we should see the conditions before we vote on the change of zone. It shouldn't take that long
I would assume that's something we can put on the agenda for next Tuesday and do the same. I mean, you can bring it back by then. You're on vacation, aren't you?
I won't be here next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. No, but
the following week, I could do it.
Shane could do it.
Yeah, we'll get
it. We'll be in for the public hearing today afternoon anyway.
Right. What's the thought on Mr. Phillips?
I guess I'm looking at this reference to condition 21 of ordinance 1377.
Uh-huh.
Do we have those conditions?
We have the condition for the, and that they Ordinance number 1377 is the approval of the MRRPC with all the conditions imposed on that.
Right. Where you had development
and commercial. It relates to the whole project, not just this portion of the site. If you remember, this site was a part of the original, originally owned by, but was not a part of the MRRPC application. It was a separate, it was an out parcel that was retained by the applicants.
So
they stated that their intent was to use it for community services. So it became, by their intent statement, that it was all of a sudden became a condition of the approval.
Sure. But it sounds like Mrs. Deaver's concern is a legitimate one. And it almost seems that we could come to consensus on that now. I don't think any of us want to give this conditional use approval without having that condition within the ordinance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the question, I guess, is could we agree on that so that we could at least vote on the first part of this application, which would be the 1699? Just a question.
I mean, I assume we could, I mean, obviously, there are two separate things. I assume we could certainly vote on 1699.
Probably better
and
to
then together. And then defer 1868 until next Tuesday.
I would just, I think they've been riding together for so long, I think they ought to just stay in the same buggy.
Yeah.
It won't take long to approve the first one. It'll be boom, boom. So I don't know if we've accomplished anything by just doing one today. And
see, we're being asked to remove a condition of approval, which is a big move on our part. And I want to make sure that we had a lot of testimony of the folks that are very interested in this piece of property. Being given either to the library or the homeowners association, this was part of the understanding that if the rezoning was allowed, that the testimony we had, we supported if the other part of it is upheld. So, you know, I just need some assurance that the other part of this of the agreement between the applicant and the homeowner association is upheld.
Well, Ms. Deaver, it's in your district. I assume you can ask to defer it.
I would like to defer it until we have the conditions in writing.
Which will be next week.
Okay. We have that next week,
yes, Mr. Asking yes. For a suggested condition on yes. This application.
Yes.
Right. On the
difficulty is putting condition on the rezoning for, because they're only talking about amending condition number 21 on the rezoning part.
Right.
It's not adding any conditions
no.
to that.
No, okay.
Unless there's a way to amend the wording of condition number 21.
Well,
otherwise, it's going to be a condition imposed on the conditional use approval for the pharmacy and related
right.
activities.
Okay. I mean, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So either way, I guess it's covered.
Yeah. Right. I mean, basically, it's going to be on the conditional use side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interpreting that. Okay, we have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, to defer for 1 week till next Tuesday. Any questions on that motion?
So
conditions.
Right.
Primarily for the
conditional use.
For the conditional use.
Yes.
Just so that we're clear, there's been no submission of any conditions for that conditional use.
Have to go through the file and pull it.
The applicant's attorney may have a document, right? Is that what you're implying, Lawrence?
Could we see
normally
that?
That could be.
I mean,
yes.
Can we see that?
Yes.
I mean, it almost seems like we'd have a template that we could look at, and if there's nothing wrong with it, we could keep moving forward on this.
I can pull the file. I've got it right with me.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Just deferred.
Wait a vote.
There's a motion.
We have a motion. We haven't taken a vote.
This okay. question pertains to the motion.
We have a question.
So I assume your question is if there are already conditions placed here that we can agree with, we
that's
can move forward.
By the developer, right, defer. Right. Correct. Developer.
Yeah. Offer them. Okay.
And my understanding is that the library might be offered this property, but they don't necessarily have to accept. And if they do not, then it would go to the homeowner association.
Right.
How long would that offer be good? We have to put that in there.
We'd have to wait till an appeal process ended, you know, or the appeal time.
Mm-hmm.
You could set a time after that.
Clear as mud.
Well, in essence, it only can, in that case, it only can be one of two things. The library use it or do it back home.
One or the other. That's all we want to make sure that happens.
So really, the time frame really is, I guess, it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, either the library does or doesn't. But they might be a while deciding on what they're going to do.
I had talked to Mr. Moore about this, and he suggested the property be put in the library's name. That's the only way to enforce it.
And he can sell it, and he can do what he wants to.
Well, we can't enforce that, I don't think.
Bear with me, I'm looking.
It's all right. I wouldn't know where we had one. Have something at least to work with.
We'll probably read it first.
That could create a problem there too, Joe. A little bit. They said they wanted to put the library, wants to put it in their name. And then they'll sell the property. So what they want to build there, and still send the money back uptown, that might not be what they had in mind. They may have had in mind that there had to be a library built on that site.
I think to get
only if they want to occupy one the
year,
premises.
You ought to put 1 year, give everybody 1 year to for the library to either
start a library,
put up or shut up.
Yeah, either build a library there or get out of it.
The library doesn't want it a year. It reverts to whatever. Put a 1 year deadline on it.
Right.
Can't do something in a year. Can't make a decision in a year.
There are 5 pages of findings. Chip's going into copying.
How many conditions?
It's a finding. It's a form of finding, but it could include the conditions. They are separate, but it must have been attached because they're not. I don't have a copy of them. It was in the booklet.
Right.
Waiting.
Yes, they must be attached.
See, I could have.
Could have related to both.
Vance, we could have been out of here.
Sure. Yeah. Now, what's our executive session on?
We've canceled it.
Good.
Our hearings at 1:30.
So?
Is this?
Do we have? No.
I don't know. No. Okay.
Good. Maybe you wouldn't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is this the homeowner association, is that controlled by the homeowners
or
by the developer?
We had speakers that were representatives, of, I believe it was president of the HOA when he spoke. Let me see. John Gilbert, president of the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association. They do have an established association.
Right. I guess I was curious as to who had the majority of the votes in that association.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
That's
I can't
important.
Answer that question.
If that's the homeowners or if that's the...
I would assume that the HOA, being they've got established maybe, representation.
Maybe you could ask Mrs. Kearns. And maybe she could ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who could ask somebody?
Now, I'm assuming that would be a corporation, that the Homeowner Association is incorporated under one particular corporation. Yeah,
thanks,
okay.
Thanks, Chip.
These aren't really conditions that they're finding, so I guess we still have to. Vance, it'd still be easier if Mr. Lank took this and put together something as conditions.
I'd like our attorney to take a good look at this.
I only found out 3 minutes ago what this was. So.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. No, I think as we look at it, we would have to start from scratch and go through all of them.
A little unusual that we have.
I will call for that vote on that motion.
Mm-hmm.
Can we call for the vote on the motion?
Sure. Which motion are we looking at?
The one to defer.
The motion to defer for 1 week till next Tuesday.
Yes.
For conditions to be.
For them to develop some conditions for the changes.
I'm back to that.
Conditional use.
No objection.
Okay.
We'll take the vote on that motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
All right, we got something to work
with. We'll defer for 1 week to get some conditions on the conditional use from Mr. Lank and his staff.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
You got anybody on the clipboard?
Hold on a minute.
Was that motion on both?
Motion was to defer both.
On both?
Yes.
Okay. Both, yes.
To defer the. CU 1868 and CZ 1699.
Call the punt.
Mr. Rutt, do we have any proposed zoning ordinances?
No.
None. Any additional business before council? Chip?
Yes. Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Let him go.
I believe they've all spoken for a previous matter.
Okay. Let's see, if we find anybody, it's John Walsh?
I already spoke to it, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Joe Conaway? I think he left. Eric Bodenweiser?
He left.
And Jimmy Weeks? He spoke, I think.
They all left, yep.
Or Jenny Weeks, I'm sorry. I think she left, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Mrs. Deaver?
I just want to bring it to your attention that I've been working with some folks who live in my district on another matter, not something coming before our board. But I'm getting complaints from them, and I've gotten them all along since I've been in office here, that they're not adequately notified about changes, proposed land use changes. And I'm still getting these complaints. The sign is not adequate. The notices are not adequate. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention because this is a constant problem.
Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Phillips?
Could I suggest that maybe we look at the publications that we're putting this in? A countywide publication like The Guide, I think, may offer the public a little more opportunity to view the applications as they're advertised as opposed to a local paper, which I think maybe we're putting them in now.
Anything would help. Anything. You know, it's really a problem.
And are they on our website, Chip?
Not conditional use or not change of zones.
Mike, please step forward.
We could do that.
What's the question?
People are complaining.
Hard to believe. Let me tell you what the state law requires. State law requires us to post the property and advertise in two papers of general circulation. Period.
Wear the red shirts.
We just switched from advertising in a local paper and a Georgetown paper because it was centralized to advertising everything in the News Journal and the state news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody reads
the
state news.
We still post the property. And for years, as a courtesy, we send notices to everyone within 200 foot of the site. And we use the tax maps to generate those numbers. And most of the time, they're pretty accurate, I would say.
Can those notifications?
Plus the schools, plus the fire company, plus the all-state paint coordination.
Can those notifications that are advertised in the two papers of general circulation be posted verbatim on our website?
Well, we post on our website, too.
They already are?
Yeah, no, the public hearings are posted on the website.
Right.
The agenda and all that.
I think what he's asking is if we can post the advertisements verbatim.
That would
website,
be great.
Which I don't believe we do presently.
I don't think we do that.
No.
So you're talking about 10 board of adjustment cases at a time,
mm-hmm.
typically 5 changes of owner conditional uses, and subdivision at a time. Varies.
If the council would like Chip Guy public information, I can talk with Tom Glenn, the director of IT, about the possibility of setting up a page on the website if council wants to move in that direction to have that complement what we do already with the print advertisements.
Well, I know the Sheriff's Department uses the local papers. Like when I look at our local couple papers, like this Coastal Point or something, there's page after page of sheriff sales.
And they use the website as well
They're very effective and stuff like this. So when you go to the state news and the News Journal, I don't know. I think we lose something there. I think that the impact of the local paper sometimes is...
It's cheaper, too.
But by state law, we have put it in two papers.
It says, two papers of general circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones are area.
Right.
They're just in areas. They're not general circulation. Sure. So the question was, so we went to the...
Well, I think it's important if we get in a certain area, if there is a local newspaper, it ought to be posted in that local newspaper's area because it impacts them the most.
Then it has to be a directive that says you shall advertise in the News Journal and in the local newspaper close to the site. It just mm-hmm. it creates more work.
But John, don't you think that just posting verbatim on the website
would be a big help.
I'd go a long way.
Help. Very simple to do.
Be a big
and the agendas
help.
Are posted on the website anyway.
But it,
agendas are posted with
yes.
They show the highlight of the paragraph anyway.
You know, it's a lot of times, though, Vance, you read those descriptions, you don't know where the heck they are.
No.
Unless you have a really...
A link to Google Maps. How's that?
Somehow there needs to be...
Mr. Guy, could you check with Mr. Glenn and see the possibility of doing this and how much it
involves. We'll look into improving it.
Give us some response.
I think it has merit, and sure.
Always room for improvement. Make a motion to adjourn.
We did change from the local and the Georgetown paper to the News Journal and the state news because they're more in general circulation countywide.
See how they work.
And that's why they did, and they've been more cooperative, get better reaction, the invoices come in quicker. It's not, it's questionable on some of the papers. That was a problem.
To dovetail with what he just said, there is the possibility, though, with the Journal being a Gannett property, they have several weeklies here in the county as well as the Daily Times out of Salisbury, Maryland. It's possible that there may be some ad rates that allow you to advertise in more than just one of those papers. You could advertise in the Journal as well as, say, the Delaware Wave or the Delaware Coast Press or the Daily Times, and you could get...
Yeah, well, check into it. Maybe they'll give us a discount.
Would the Guide be considered a newspaper?
That's not a good paper.
Not sure.
I don't think so.
It's the only one I read.
It's the only one you read.
Does it say newspaper or publication? It would be a publication.
Sure. Everybody reads that.
But what constitutes
it? It's free.
Anything else from council?
It's free.
You will follow through, Mr. Glenn, on that.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Any questions?
Finally.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.